All right. Joining us now is a guy who wrote this book before Neil Young wrote this song. At least I think Dave Lindorf's a little ahead of Neil Young's curve on this one. He is, in fact, the author, co-author, actually, of The Case for Impeachment. We featured that book on this show quite some time ago. He's going to be speaking at St. James Church in West Hartford, that's Episcopal Church on Farmington Avenue, just a little bit west of the center, on Sunday. He'll tell us a little bit more about this right now. But Dave Lindorf, welcome to the show.
Hey, Colin. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's appropriate to have you on. I guess these days it's appropriate to have you on almost any day because the news just sort of seems to create some excuse for it. But I don't know if you caught the PBS Frontline thing last night that kind of walked us through all of the ways in which Dick Cheney and his sort of set of Confederates there have just enlarged the power of the presidency beyond. I mean, seeing it up there, it really was like watching a Robert Ludlum movie or something, except it was real.
Yeah, I know. I was regretting that it's on PBS and not on, you know, CBS where it should be, but that's part of the problem.
Part of the problem in the sense, do you feel like the mainstream media still kind of hasn't done its job, hasn't done due diligence in terms of reporting?
It's absolutely the case that they have let us down entirely. It's not the media, you know, that I grew up training for, you know, in the 60s and 70s. I mean, just in my own personal experience, you know, here's a book I wrote for St. Martin's Press. It's, if I do say so myself, an excellent book that lays out the case. It's factual, and it sold 20,000 copies in hardcover. It didn't get a single review in the corporate media.
And why do you think that is? I mean, is it laziness? Is it blindness? Is it corporate control of the media and a desire to exclude certain kinds of messages? I mean, why do you think that that's the case?
It's definitely corporate control. I mean, I know I went to journalism school in 75 and have a lot of friends who are at the you know, mid to high echelons in all these networks now. And, you know, I talk with them about it, and they just say, we can't do that story. You know, we can't. It's either considered to be you know, a ratings-draining story, or it's too hot to handle. And people will tell you that it's too hot to handle. So I think there's a lot of issues that are simply left out. And certainly, you know, just if you really want to see it, I spent a year living in Taiwan and 5 years living in Hong Kong and China. I used to watch CNN International. It's a different program than CNN in America. You see the bodies and the blood in Iraq. You see everything that the rest of the world sees that Americans don't see. And the weird thing is that Atlanta has all that footage, but they don't put it on the U.S. media.
I mean, in some ways, I also think, you know, when you said the thing about the ratings, I think there is some truth to that, too. Corporately controlled media, and I've worked for a lot of corporately controlled media, and I'm on a corporately controlled media radio station right this second. I mean, I think that they're less concerned with controlling message and more concerned with reaching the largest possible audience and making the largest amount of money and having the highest advertising rates that they possibly can. And part of, I think part of the problem is that there is an intellectual laziness in the part of the American public. And there's a small group of people, and they probably show up to events like the ones that you're going to have on Sunday, who want to hear the truth and talk about the truth and talk about what's gone wrong. And then there's this huge number of people who are almost unconvertible on this subject, and they don't want to be confronted with any of this stuff. And the media, because they're in the business of making money and keeping people happy, so they don't.
Yeah, that's right. There's no sense of mission anymore. There's not a sense that, you know, we have an obligation to get the story out. I mean, a good example is the one I've been working on recently about this B-52 bomber flight that carried six nuclear weapons across the country from Minot to Barksdale. You know, that got a tiny play. If it had happened in Russia, it would have been page one on every newspaper in America. But because it happened in America, it barely made it into any media. And where it did get in, it wasn't page one. It was a little shirt tail at the end of some other article. But this is really scary stuff because those bombs never should have even been on a bomber, much less flown across the U.S. And then we don't even know what they were being flown there for. The Air Force says it was a mistake, but it could not have been a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, actually, even as you're talking, I'm just sort of Googling it. You're right. There's not a lot of coverage of this in the press.
No, they're treating it like it was a mistake. But my daughter, as a mathematician, she said the odds of getting six nuclear missiles on one pod and six non-nuclear missiles on the other pod by accident is one in 924.
Yeah. Well, all you have to do, by the way, if anybody wants to read a little bit more about this, is even just type, get onto the news section of Google and type in B-52, and you will get some stories, mostly in the foreign press, off of Dave Lindorf's story.
If you do Minot and B-52, you'll get more, but they won't be in the American media.
No, Minot, and Minot is M-I-N-O-T, if people want to know. What are you going to talk about on Sunday?
Well, I'm talking about the string of executive orders that have been passed by this administration, as well as some laws passed by the last Congress, that have paved the way towards the possibility of martial law in the United States. And I know people will hear that and say, martial law in America? But, you know, it's actually a possibility now, and it's a very scary thing. Even General Pace said that one more terror incident and the U.S. will be under military rule. That's pretty heavy stuff coming from a top general.
Well, actually, I can't remember who talked about it last night on the PBS thing, but at one point, one of the people who had some, it might have been Ron Suskind, was talking about the hours after September 11th, where Cheney apparently did gather his coterie to him and towards him and said, for a while, we're going to be a government of men rather than a government of laws. Just the idea of him saying that's a little scary. And I know the thing you're talking about, these executive orders, which there's been some stuff circulating about them on the internet, but you don't see very much about them anywhere else. And they do seem to set the stage for the president to be able to, in fact, you know, keep himself in office in perpetuity if he wants to.
No, he has the power under his executive orders to take control of all the National Guard units away from the governors. He has the power to nationalize the police forces, local police. He has the power to, and this is really scary, he changed the law on posse comitatus, which is a law dating from, I think, 1879, that bars active duty military from serving a police function within the U.S., and he got that changed so that he now can operate the active duty military as a domestic police force within the U.S. He has stripped habeas corpus. All he has to do is call you an enemy combatant without any judicial overview, and you can be locked up in a military brig without a right to a lawyer. This is in America. And he's done it to several people to test it. You know, like this guy, Jose Padilla,
mm-hmm.
3 years without charge in a military brig.
Navy brig,
an American citizen born in Brooklyn.
David Lindorf, the corporate media says we're out of time right now, but let me just mention once again, the appearance is on Sunday. It's at St. James Episcopal Church in West Hartford. It's called Save Our Democracy. What time is that going to be?
2 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
All right, 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock. You will be probably under surveillance by the National Security Agency when you attend, but
I welcome it.
That's the risk you pay for a democracy. All right, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Colin.
Bye-bye.